Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You remember that old commercial? It was for the U.S. Army. I guess they were trying to get people to sign up, but the ad ended with the voiceover, "We do more before 9 a.m. than most people do all day." You remember that one? Well, I don't know if Jesus was an early riser, and I'm pretty sure he wasn't in the U.S. Army, although as they say, there are no atheists in foxholes. But at least in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus does more before the end of chapter 1 than most people do all day. More happens than you might expect in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel. There's no story of Jesus' birth, of course, but John comes along and Jesus gets baptized, and then he's out in the wilderness, and then he goes back up north to Galilee, the area of the world where he's from originally, and he ends up calling some of his disciples. We heard about that last week. And then by the time we get to today's reading, he's in the synagogue in a place called Capernaum, and lo and behold, people are, how does it say, astounded. Amazed, astonished. He's actually got a pretty good thing going so far. I mean, I don't know, it's probably not that hard to impress people who are, when you're being compared to the scribes. No offense to any lawyers who are here and all, but that was the job of the scribes. Political lawyer types. Not necessarily the kind that you'd rather go have a beer with. So Jesus, in the middle of this great sermon, he's got everyone hanging on the edge of his every word. And all of a sudden, this guy gets up and starts giving Jesus all kinds of sass. And we know, because Mark tells us, that it's actually not the guy himself, but this demon that's got a hold of him. It's the demon who's all up in Jesus' face. And he says to Jesus, "What the heck, man? What you trying to do, moving in on my turf? You think you're going to get rid of me, Jesus? I know who you are." And he does. The demon is actually one of the only people in Mark's gospel who actually recognize Jesus for who he is. He comes right out and says it. "You are the Holy One of God." Not even most of the disciples figure out Jesus like that. But here's Jesus still in chapter 1, and he's got these people who are amazed and this demon who's challenging him. And I wonder if Jesus didn't wonder right then and there what in the world he had gotten himself into. But that's kind of the point, too. That's what Mark is trying to say here in the first chapter of his gospel. Remember last week when Jesus came to those fishermen on the lakeshore? Remember how he had said to them that he was preaching something called the kingdom of God? Last week we talked about the one thing that God is doing in Jesus that will change the world. It might look different for one person or another, but whatever it is, it's going to make everything better. Fix the problems. Make the world the way God wants it to be. This is the kingdom of God. God busting in and knocking some heads, if that's what it takes. And that's what he does with this demon. This demon who's taken hold of this poor man who never asked for any of this. Last week it was the fisherman who didn't ask to be held captive in a dead-end job of toil and suffering so that others could get rich off of the empire's economy. This week, it's a person, a member of the synagogue, we're made to assume, who is held captive by the evil of the world, the powers of the universe that defy God. I said last week that Jesus is the savior of the world precisely because the world needs saving. This man personifies that reality. His unclean spirit is the reason Jesus needs to baptize with the Holy Spirit. It's probably not all that helpful, actually, to try and figure out what exactly this guy was tormented by, who or what this demon actually was. Some people say that demons were the mental illness of a world that didn't understand things like schizophrenia and bipolar disorders and even depression. I think we have to be real careful with that, because if the Bible tells someone that their mental illness is a demon, then there's a chance that person might not care for themselves or others and their mental health in the most helpful ways. And it's kind of rude to say that a mentally ill person is possessed. I don't think this story is supposed to be all that literal anyway. Because like the fishermen, although we remember them as real people with names, they symbolize all people whom Jesus calls to follow me. This nameless one with a demon is really supposed to symbolize all kinds of people who suffer in the world because of the evils of the world. This man is all of a sudden in the synagogue, it says. And in the world, it seems that there is all of a sudden these troubles, these pains, these evils that show up. And yeah, I know that everything happens for a reason sometimes, but it can sure feel like bad things pop up as fast as a jackrabbit on a date. And the gospel that Jesus brings, Mark says, is that whatever it is, whatever, wherever it is, no matter how powerful, how horrifying, Jesus will dispatch it just as fast. And it's the job of a prophet to announce these things. It's what Moses in Deuteronomy is telling the people of his own time. I'm not going to be with you forever, Moses says. And it's true, Moses dies at the end of Deuteronomy, just shy of the people entering into the promised land. But God, through Moses, comforts the people. God will raise up prophets like Moses from within the people to be prophets who will announce that God will be in those places where demons show up. And as swiftly as Jesus expels the demon in the man in the synagogue, God will expel the pains and hurts from our lives too. Well, that's all fine and good, you might say. But then how come I've been living with this pain? How come this demon of mine has been tormenting all this time? You're on pretty loose ground there, Pastor. You best be careful how you tread, because it sure kind of sounds like you're saying that Jesus could free me from this pain, but maybe he just doesn't want to. Or maybe my demon isn't as easy for Jesus to get rid of. And yeah, that's the thing. And it sure is a puzzle. Because why doesn't Jesus heal the people in pain in all the other synagogues? Or the other people in pain in that synagogue? You can't tell me that this man is the only one who is tormented. And yeah, Jesus is going to do a whole bunch of other great and amazing things for lots of people in the Gospels, and beyond that by the Acts of the Apostles and the other faithful followers of Jesus to come. But still, even if you add up all of those cases, add up all of the people who have had their pain and torment relieved in Jesus' name, had their demons exorcised, add it all up, and there's still thousands and millions more. But that's why this isn't a story of just one man with a demon in a synagogue in Capernaum. But it's only the first in a story of God breaking into this world to confront the evil of this world and take all of it to the cross. And there, with a loud voice himself, to die on that cross And if you read all the way to the end of the story, you'll encounter another who will know who Jesus is. An outsider, just like this demon. It's not someone from the synagogue, but one not of those whom God first chose to lead into the promised land. It's the Roman soldier at Jesus' cross who will see what Jesus does and how he forgives even those who put him on the cross. And there, that Roman soldier will say the same thing, proclaim the same truth, as does today's demon. Truly, this man is the Son of God. And this is our job too, to proclaim to a broken and tormented world, a world possessed by the powers of evil, a world in pain and injustice, to show up as suddenly as evil rears its ugly head, and in the face of that evil, with authority and all the power of God, tell that demon to come out. Maybe the demon is the sickness in a friend or a relative. Sit with that one. Hold their hand. Pray with them. Love them, even to the end. And watch that demon come out of that person you love. Maybe that demon is injustice of systems in our world that create inequality between women and men, black and white, gay and straight. Speak up for those in public, risking even your own reputation. And watch that demon come out of the systems that hold people down. Maybe the demon is the scourge of war and violence around the world and in our streets. Love your neighbors and even your enemies, and forgive those who nail you to a cross. And watch that demon come out of this world so that all may live in peace. This man in the synagogue is each and every one of us in all kinds of situations, in our families, in the community, and in the world. But God promised to raise up prophets from within the people, from within this people, you gathered here this day. God is calling you in the power of the one who is known even by these demons around and among us. God is calling you in Jesus' name to demand that the demons come out. It's an authority that will amaze and astonish those around us, and not always to our glory and praise. But this new teaching will change the world. It'll cause all to declare, truly, this is the Son of God.